Welcome to Family Home Evening
with Bad Mormons.
I'm Mandy.
I'm Charlotte.
And we are two sisters who get drunk and record stories for you to make you laugh and get you really, really mad at everyone who's in political power.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Good.
That's our new tagline. So if you're wondering why you're here, that's why you're here.
You're welcome.
Get ready for a really good time.
Sorry that we were gone for a couple weeks. We are still just getting our voices back. That flu was no joke.
Yeah, if you listen to our show, you can probably tell that we're a little rough around the edges, a little scratchy.
Right? I've had COVID 3 times, and again, this isn't to downplay COVID, but this flu was so much fucking worse.
Yeah, it was brutal. Brutal. So, yeah, cheers.
Cheers.
I'm having a rum and coke.
I'm having some watered-down vodka.
Is it Russian vodka or is it Tito's vodka?
Tito's, because I like the gays.
Tell the listeners what you were just telling me about the vodka story.
You were just telling me about the vodka story?
No, you were telling me that some dude changed back to Russian vodka because Tito's sponsored a drag show.
You're literally the one who told me that.
Did I?
Yeah. Literally just told me that before we started recording. Yeah.
Okay, great. I need another drink then already. So cheers.
But what I can remember from what you told me was that, Craig, it was Roger Stone, was drinking Russian vodka, and then he switched over to Tito's but found out that they supported homosexuals or something like that, so he went back to his Russian vodka.
They supported a drag show or something. Swear to God I didn't say that. I was reading about Lauren Boebarten, the House of Representatives.
No, it was Craig.
Oh, thank God we figured that out. Anyway, cheers to our patrons.
Hey, cheers, patrons.
We thank you so much for supporting us. I think this might be a good time to announce we're going to make some changes to our podcast. We're going to turn off the Patreon. We're just not in a place where we can give you guys the quality that you deserve. So we're going to shut it down for a little while. But thanks to everybody who's joined, past, present. We really appreciate you guys so much. So we're going to reach out to you all individually, and just to let you know, our Patreon's going away, our website's already gone away, and we just don't have enough time. Our real jobs are very demanding of us lately, and so we're going to change it up a little bit. We're going to do a bi-weekly podcast instead of a weekly podcast, and it's going to be less pressure for us and more fun, hopefully, for you.
Right. I think we can just, with the kind of spreading it out a little bit more, we can create memories faster than we can tell them.
Yeah, so thank you guys so much. We really appreciate you. And now we'd like to repent.
For everything.
We had 3 weeks worth of repenting to do. First of all, I apologize. I never put our last episode up on YouTube.
Oh.
I'm going to make that happen tomorrow. I have the day off. Nothing to do. I'm going to make that happen. And then just, you know, general lack of vocal capacity over the last 3 weeks.
Yes.
Apologize for that as well.
Laryngitis is fun. I did not know this, that when you have laryngitis, you're supposed to not talk because it will make nodules on your voice box, which will change your voice to be more gravelly.
Ooh.
And so I was like, I wonder if that's, for those who have listened to our podcast for a while, there was a story of us going out on the drunken sailor.
Drunk delinquent.
The drunk delinquent, that's right. I had laryngitis on that trip, and I would not stop talking because I thought I sounded like Fran Drescher. And I'm curious, because I have a fairly baritone, nasally voice anyways. I'm like, I wonder if some of that has to do with my laryngitis.
I wonder if I nodulated myself.
I think I did.
Interesting. I didn't get laryngitis from this last flu like you did, but you were talking.
I can't stop talking.
I know. Let's record it. You ready for Mormon Corner?
Yes.
Some very interesting things have been happening in Mormon Corner lately. Let me pull up my my internet here. I've got so many things bookmarked to read to you guys today. Did you hear the news that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints said a few days ago that it would back proposed federal legislation to safeguard same-sex marriages.
Wait, what?
Yeah, there's 4 senators in Utah. They're all Mormons. And the church itself has come out and said that they're going to support this this proposed legislation that's going to protect same-sex marriages.
Oh, good for them.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, because I think their membership's down.
Yep. Yep. That's actually like such a big deal. Of course, it's going to still, the Utah-based faith said in a statement that the church doctrine would continue to consider same-sex relationships to be against God commandments, yet it would support rights for same-sex couples as long as they didn't infringe upon religious groups' rights to believe as they choose.
Gross.
I'm reading this from an AP article, so this is like, I don't want to say as nonpartisan as it gets, but Associated Press is pretty flat, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, good, but also fuck them.
Yeah. Well, and this is coming from, everybody knows, like, the Supreme Court at this moment in time is just a complete joke and a shit show. And so Clarence Thomas was saying that they're going to, basically, this rule is on the table to potentially, like, repeal the Equality for Marriage Act that came around in the, you know, Clinton era, which would also open up the door to make interracial marriage, which I can't even believe I'm fucking saying out loud, interracial marriage illegal again.
Which he's in an interracial marriage, so it doesn't even make any fucking sense.
I know. It's fucking crazy. Well, all of this is against people. Everybody who votes on that side of the party votes against their own best interests. Right. And they just are too stupid to realize it, or they're too selfish to realize it.
They just think it won't affect them.
Yeah, until it does.
Right.
Right. Anyway. So, yeah, that's a really big hot take coming out of Utah right now.
Wow.
And, yeah,
I'd say crazy. Progressive, but, you know, it's the same thing with the black people. And with 78, and they let black people back into the church.
Like, oh, just kidding.
Oh, turns out we want to take your money as well. Okay, cool.
God told us that when he said no, he really meant yes.
Right.
God told me that when he said that my boyfriend from high school was going to come and save us, he really meant the next door neighbor. Right. Sorry, oh,
my
inside
favorite.
Joke.
My fucking favorite. Good times.
Good.
Fuck that church.
Good times. It's funny too, because we have some of our family is in same-sex marriages, and it really like tore the entire family right out of the church, because it's like you can't just decide you're not going to love your kid anymore,
right?
And they're making some choice. Right. That's how they want to live their life. Because it's, if you have any experience with that, or you've ever met a person who is not a heterosexual person,
right?
It's you can't help but know that that's a whole bunch of bullshit. And so any family that would choose a religion that says that over their own flesh and blood is not a family I want to be a part of. And luckily, it's not a family I am a part of, because they all,
some of them.
Well, the ones who have that person in their family.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure. You know? They're awesome. Yeah.
The other people, you know, whatever. Do your thing.
I know we're not into this motherfucker yet, but it just reminds me of the guy who shot the Q Club in Colorado. There's an interview with his dad, if you haven't seen it. It's fucking horrendous. His dad, who's clearly on meth.
Well, you have to say what the Q Club is.
Oh, so the Q Club was a gay LGBTQ club in Colorado Springs. I mean, there's plenty of people who said, like, that was my sanctuary. You know, Colorado Springs is not an accepting place. And so to be able to go to that club was like a safe haven for them. This fucking asshole comes in and just started shooting. I think he killed like 5 people and wounding like 13, but got taken out by a combat vet. And just
drag queens.
And some drag queens got, you know, one of the drag queens took their high heels off and started hitting him in the face with the sparky part of the heel. Good for them. But yeah, so anyways, fucking awful. He's in jail, whatever. But they did an interview with the shooter's dad, and he said, you know, he's clearly on meth.
By the way, and I can now notify you of breaking news update.
Okay, thanks, Alexa. You're the worst. No. But anyways, so he's clearly on meth, and he's just like, yeah, when I found out he shot up a gay club, I was like, oh God, no, I hope he's not gay. And then I realized, oh, he's just killing gay people. Well, at least he's not gay. I mean, he literally said that at least he's just not gay. It's like, well, we don't do gay. He said that too. He's like, we don't do gay. We don't do gay. We just do meth, apparently. Yeah. But yeah, it's fucked up.
Totally fucked up.
But I mean, you have to assume, again, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but like, not to make excuses for the shooter, but I bet you anything he's gay and has self-hatred because his dad's a piece of shit who wouldn't accept him. And so then he did what he thought he had to do because he hated himself so much, which is kill the people who could get to live their free, awesome life, and he doesn't get to do that.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. Yeah, that was heartbreaking, that story. I think there was actually seven mass shootings in 7 days, which started with that one.
Fuck.
Yeah, so there's a lot. A lot of people needing to bring their AR-15s into a school or a church or a club or whatever.
God, people suck.
Yeah.
Anyway. Your thoughts and prayers. So,
And prayers.
But let's talk about cool shit.
Yeah, we'll get to this motherfucker in a minute.
I stayed up till 3 in the morning last night watching Wednesday, the Adam's Family spinoff. Do you know it was directed by Tim Burton?
I did not.
And the music is Danny Elfman.
I want to say fantastic.
Tim Burton did the first 3 or 4 episodes and then other people did it. But, I mean, it was good. It has a very Tim Burton feel to it. But I couldn't help but feel like it. Did you watch the reboot of Sabrina the Teenage Witch on Netflix?
No.
It's better than, you know, the one from the 90s, but like it's a little darker, but it's very a teenage show, you know? Yeah. So, but I mean, it kept me up till 3 in the morning. So I was like, oh, there's only 2 more episodes left. And it's like 2:30. And it was like one. I was like, I could stay up for one more. There's only one more left. Oh, who cares? 3:30. I'll go to bed. But anyways, I'll say that's cool shit. I liked it.
We watched, we also watched Andor. Yes. It's been a real rough week at work. This is Sunday. I literally worked in the first 4 days of this week over 50 hours with like a few hours of sleep in between. It was
so crazy.
The most brutal schedule I've ever been asked to work in my entire life. So we've just been like, I haven't been doing anything except for like hanging out at work. Did I say where I worked?
No.
Okay, good. I don't
think. No, you didn't.
I was like, did I just shout that out by accident? Obviously, listeners, you all know where I work is a big secret and no one can ever find out because I'll get fired for doing this podcast. But anyway, we were watching Andor and I was so fucking tired that we're at the very last episode of the first season and I fell asleep and I just kept waking up like, don't fall asleep. You're going to miss it. Kept waking up and then I just couldn't keep my eyes open. So, but Andor is like one of the best shows I've seen in a long time.
They really did a good job. I mean, to be fair, one of the only spinoffs that Star Wars has done that I thought has been as good as the original three has been Rogue One. And so Andor is just an extension of that, which is great.
Yeah, really, really good. And it's like full of hot takes. Like, you know, there's an episode that like, you know, highlights inhumane prison labor practices. And there's like anti-fascism shit. Right. And there's just like, it's just relevant and but keeps to the story, but is good. Like, it's just amazing. Other than the last episode, I can't tell you anything about that one because I have to watch it again. But yeah, we really enjoyed that one. And then also, I have one more thing for cool shit. We were somehow able, by the grace of the Mormon Jesus Christ, able to get Blink 182 tickets for San Diego this summer. That was Ticketmaster is just a piece of shit company, and I think everybody's always known it, but for some reason, like, there was just this big debacle when everyone in the world was trying to get Taylor Swift tickets.
Right.
Not my jam, but it basically united the entire world against Ticketmaster, which I'm a big fan of, right, because they're awful and they're a monopoly. And
their service charges are very much, they're high.
It'll double your ticket price, right, almost.
So I've never had a problem with Ticketmaster in the past. I've heard about how awful they are, but I didn't really, you know, I didn't ever have to deal with it. Plus, Craig generally gets our tickets anyways, and I'll just Venmo him for the money. But I was very excited to see that my favorite band, They Might Be Giants, is playing in San Diego. And they were been sold out for this Flood show. Like, they're just playing Flood, which is arguably probably one of their best albums ever.
Good album.
And so I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to go get tickets. So I pull, you know, I go to tmbg.com. I look at the thing. They've added shows for, you know, a few different states, and they added a third day to San Diego. So I'm like, perfect. I'm going to San Diego. So I click on that link, and, you know, I'm in Ticketmaster. Mind you, it doesn't say the state anywhere on this page. It just says the venue name. And San Diego's got plenty of venues that I don't know what their fucking names are. So I'm like, okay, tickets are only like $30. Perfect. I'll get two of them. And then I was like, oh, you can make them VIP for $30 per ticket more. Fuck yeah. $60 for a ticket. Done. Cause we've been enjoying the VIP at the Plaza Blue. So I'm assuming it's just like that.
As you know, internet,
right? We're VIP-ness.
We're VIP now.
And so then there's also $30 for parking. And I'm like, fuck yeah. Okay. Parking. I don't have to worry about anything. Everything's all paid for. So 60, 120, 30. So it's $150. It's about 180 with fees, right? So I'm like, eh, that's fine. Whatever. So I click next. I didn't read that page very well because that one did say the state on it. I, you know, confirmed it, and then I get my email. So I look at my email, and mind you, the show is on in April, and this show is in March. And I'm like, whoa. No, the show I'm going to is in April. What happened here? I mean, immediately saw this mistake. I mean, the font on the website is so small that I accidentally clicked the Indianapolis link. So now I've got tickets in Indianapolis that I can't do. And I was trying to be a good sport about it. And I was like, fuck it. Let me just go look at plane tickets, see how much it would cost to fly into Indianapolis. And maybe I'll just make a big trip out of it. Tickets are $600 and they would have to be for two people. I'm like, fuck that. No, I'm done. I immediately contacted Ticketmaster, tried to get them to cancel it, be like, listen, I made a mistake. If you don't want to like refund me, if you just want to give me a credit, that's fine. No. Sorry, all ticket sales are final. You'll have to sell them yourself, which means Ticketmaster will get another service fee, by the way. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. Even an airline will let you change your ticket or cancel it within 24 hours of booking it, right? Like, I 100% get Ticketmaster's stance on if I bought that ticket and a week later, I'm like, ah, fuck, those dates don't work for me. Can I have a refund? No. You got to figure out what you're doing with that. But if I made a mistake because I clicked the wrong link, I should be able to have a 24-hour adjustment period or, you know, like, again, use that towards the San Diego. I don't care. But nope, nothing. I have to turn around and sell them, which is just total garbage. So, yeah, fuck Ticketmaster.
Fuck Ticketmaster. Fuck them right in their bum hole. what else? Anything else for cool shit?
It's like, I figure we just moved into this motherfucker. Oh, yeah. Ticketmaster, this fucks.
Well, let's talk about, what should we talk about? There's so much. It's been 3 weeks.
I know.
Should we talk about Trump hosting Kanye West and Nick Fuentes, that
fucking Nazi motherfucker?
Nazi guy at his resort? Should we talk about Elon Musk destroying the holy space we call Twitter? should we talk about the Republicans taking the majority of the House of Representatives and wanting to install Mudbutt Turd Girl as their Speaker of the House?
Jesus Christ. What kind of dystopian fucking universe are we in now?
No kidding. Could you fucking imagine if that happened?
It looks like it might happen. I mean, luckily, I want to say the House is, it's a narrow margin. Like, I think they've got 3 more seats than the Democrats do, so they can't just, like, fuck shit up. But, like,
well, they can. So they, whoever has the majority, there's like 400 and some people in the 426 in the House of Representatives. Whoever has the majority gets to elect the Speaker. Now, it still has to go through a process. Like, everybody has to agree to it. So hopefully, let's say everybody does agree to it. What the Speaker of the House gets to do, and that's Nancy Pelosi right now.
Right.
They have a lot of control over that room. They're able to, like, set the calendar. They're able to decide what legislation gets voted on. They have a lot of power. So all you need is, like, a slight majority, and then you get to choose the Speaker, right. And then everyone votes on it.
I did read something that's saying that even though Liz Cheney didn't win her re-election bid, that she could technically be Speaker of the House if everybody voted on it. Yeah.
Interesting. Because I don't really know too much about how that works.
Right.
What I do know, though, is the House of Representatives gets completely reelected every 2 years.
Right.
Whereas the Senate is kind of this rolling, continuous election cycle. So it's like one third of the senators are They are new every so many years, and then 2/3 stay the same. So it's not like they just up and supplant everybody with a new thing like the House of Representatives does. But that, you know, the House of Representatives does have quite a bit of like control on voting on legislature.
Right. Fact. So. Well, and especially with fucking mud butt turd girl, like, I just don't understand. She's a bully. She's immature. She's a fucking psychopath. So the fact that she even got reelected is disgusting, but it's Florida. So sorry, Florida.
No, she's Georgia.
Georgia. Well, Florida, still apologize. Georgia, you're better than that. Stop acting like Florida. I mean, you could understand where I would assume she's from Florida, though, right? Because she's a total Floridian type person.
Yeah.
Anywho, I digress. And again, I apologize to the state of Florida.
Yeah, we probably should have put this little tidbit in our cool shit. We're going to the state of Florida in 49 days to go to Disney World for the first time.
It's
going to
be awesome. I talk shit on Florida, but I love the majority of Florida. I mean, I love parts of Florida. There are some parts of Florida that are just straight up trash.
Yeah.
But you know that about yourselves. I digress. What are we talking about? Oh, mud butt turd girl. Mm-hmm. She's like, I can't imagine anybody putting her in a position of power because she will abuse the fuck out of it.
Oh, yeah. It'll just be a complete nightmare for 2 years. A nightmare.
Yep.
Anyway. Let's talk about the death of Twitter.
Okay. Because. So, I did just read that apparently Elon Musk called up all of the CEOs personally who stopped advertising with Twitter once he took over. And
Elon Musk took over Twitter, in case you guys didn't get the memo. This is what's been happening. There's been this, like, rumor forever, Elon Musk is going to buy Twitter. Elon Musk from SpaceX. Elon Musk from Tesla.
Right.
He's going to spend $44 billion for a fucking platform, an app,
and for people those talk who to don't know the other. Difference between a million and a billion, 1 million seconds is a week and a half. A billion seconds is 32 years. It's a $44 billion.
Big, big difference. And the first thing he started to do, so like all of a sudden everyone was freaking out because they're like, you know, Twitter has been this place where it's like, they have rules and they have moderators and they don't tolerate any kind of hate speech. They don't tolerate any bullying. They don't tolerate that bullshit, right? So a lot of Republican people have been banned. Their accounts have been suspended because they're promoting racism and they're promoting white supremacy and they're promoting hate and all this shit, right? Like anybody who's a normal person fucking knows, who's not been brainwashed.
Right.
Dad. I know. I love you, Dad, but come on. These are bad people.
Right.
Anyway, so he buys the app. All of a sudden, just right out the gate, he fires 80% of this staff. He's humiliating them and fighting with them on the platform in a public space and, like, dehumanizing and humiliating his former employees, firing them, in public.
Right.
He's reinstating all of these hate accounts. He's reinstating Donald Trump's account. You know, he's just everybody's, you know, everybody's back in. And now all of a sudden, all the far left voices, their accounts are getting suspended.
Right.
People are starting to... Like, they're looking closely at their accounts, and they find that they're following Donald Trump when they never would have ever followed Donald Trump before.
I was going to say, you told me that you're like, I've never followed Donald Trump. How am I doing this? And I was like, oh, that's weird. I'm not following him. I just immediately blocked him. But I went and looked up Kanye West, and I was following him. I've never followed Kanye West in my life.
Yeah, so it's just like I'm not going to last much longer on the platform at this rate, but I've been kind of sticking around to see the shit show unfold, you know, because it's been fucking crazy. Because we would go to Twitter a lot of times to see what's happening. You get your news faster than the news on Twitter.
Right.
Granted, you know, a lot of it's all unvetted, and you have to know who to choose and who is a credible source of information and who's not. But that's, you know, that's part of the whole verification. Oh, that's a whole nother thing. Getting verified.
Yeah, you're
going to
pay $8 for a blue check mark
to say who you are. And that's the thing I've been fighting with my mom about forever. Like anybody can say anything they want. That doesn't necessarily make it true. Just 'cause somebody types it on a platform, on a website, that doesn't you know, your weird, what is it, QAnon shit that she believes in. Right. That doesn't make it true just because somebody wrote it on the internet.
Right.
Look at this. We have a podcast. We can say whatever we want. Does that make every single thing we say true?
No. Yes. Listen, we try to do our research. Sometimes we're wrong, and that's why we repent. That's why we listen to our listeners who let us know, hey, listen, what you said was actually not accurate. Be like, oh, shit. Okay, well, repenting. Sorry.
Turns out you can just say whatever you want, and so can everybody else in the world, you know?
Right.
Anyway, Twitter's a hot fucking mess. And just today I was like on there just trying to see, and my entire feed is, so, you know, like Twitter, just like most other social media, it responds to what you do, and you sort of create your own little echo chamber so that you see accounts that you like their tweets a lot. And, you know, you see your account is sort of curated to your tastes, right? My feed, I'm not exaggerating, is 90% MAGA,
right?
Hateful bullshit. And it's like, so-and-so follows this person, so I'm going to show you their entire feed, and then I'll see one person from an account that I normally would see a lot of and I follow. 90% of it is shit that I don't want to see. So I've just started like blocking all of these people. Block, 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 block. Today, I go and try to, I'm getting some mess or some post about somebody glorifying anorexia and fat shaming people. And I'm like, I'm done with your bullshit. I don't need to see this kind of shit. I go to try to unfollow them. The unfollow button doesn't work at all. Like it flashes, but then nothing. I'm still following them. It doesn't even work.
Oh, that's fucked
so
up.
So it's like the app itself is now malfunctioning. And so advertisers who spend money to advertise on Twitter are seeing this happening and they're pulling out. They're like, this is a train wreck. Nobody's here now to buy a Tide Pod or whatever advertising, you know.
Just one Tide Pod.
We're gonna go advertise somewhere else. And so that's brings us back to Charlotte's point, where apparently Elon is personally calling
CEOs and being like, why are you not advertising with us? I'm such a douche.
What did we do wrong? Is it because nothing fucking works and you're forced to follow Kanye West? Because I thought that was a good idea.
Right. Well, so like, somebody was writing about what he's doing is called, now I can't remember it, I'm going to butcher it, but it was like, it's like binge and purging, essentially. That's not the words, clearly, but like, essentially, there's a book called The 80-20 Rule, saying 20% of the people do 80% of the work, essentially, right? And so just to dumb it down, that's essentially that 20% of Twitter's employees are doing 80% of the work, so why not fire everybody who's not super performing? But the truth of the matter is you need the other people to fucking do the shit that needs to get done, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's a shit way to look at things. And, again, death of Twitter.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Now, there's a few other places that have popped up that you can go to Twitter that's not Twitter. One's called Patton.
Yeah, there's Post.
Post, that's what it is.
Tribal. There's right. a few of them. And honestly, I haven't quite figured out, it takes time to like curate a community of people and build trust and build right. like, so now it's just fractured into a million different pieces and it's like, which one do you go to? Because there isn't one that's going to replace Twitter.
Right.
So it's just like, I don't know. My plan is just to sit back and wait and see like what, you know, if there becomes a new platform out of this, like, you know, TikTok just kind of sprung up out of nowhere a few years back.
Right.
I guess several years back now, but... You know, it's going to be, hopefully it'll be obvious when there's a new platform that takes their content moderation seriously and prevents right. hate speech and right. doesn't allow, like, Twitter is just like 4chan used to be now.
Right.
Like, that's, you know, you can just go on and
say whatever.
Yeah.
Share whatever without any.
Any repercussions.
Well, because we watched that whole documentary on the Eye of the Storm or the Q Storm or whatever the fuck, it was on HBO. And it talks about how 4chan and then 8chan. So 4chan would actually start, you know, you can't share child, you know.
CSAM.
CSAM. The child abuse pictures. And like, but then 8chan came up and said, we're completely free speech. And sometimes that means things that we don't agree with.
Like, yeah, no. Share your videos here.
Right. It's fucked up. And that's how QAnon became a fucking thing, was on 8chan, which again, they're complaining and accusing all these Republicans of eating and raping babies, but yet...
No, liberals eat
rape. Oh, yeah, sorry. Well, the Republicans are accusing liberals of eating and raping babies, but it's being shared on a platform that literally shares content
like that.
Like that. It's fucked up.
Yeah. It turns out the world's a horrible fucking place and there's a lot of monsters in it and you need somebody, you need rules.
Right.
You know, somebody needs to be moderating and paying attention. And is it, does the left go too far sometimes?
Yes.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Do the taxes need to be as goddamn fucking high as they are? No, could they don't.
Spent better.
Could we trim the fat and put the money where it's supposed to go? Absolutely. But at the same time, it's just as bad, if not worse, the other way, where it's like people are nothing more than prison labor
right.
to make fucking whatever for my factory.
Right.
You know, like you just.
I just watch Gone with the Wind again. It's my yearly tradition that Craig preps the turkey while I get drunk on Bailey's and watch Gone with the Wind.
That sounds like diabetes.
It's awesome. And I don't know why, but I saw Gone with the Wind in a completely different light this time. Like, I don't know what changed. And again, it was always had like racism and like, and slavery, but it wasn't based on that. Like, that was just the background because that's the time or whatever, like, from the time that it's supposed to be taking place at. But, like, there's a whole scene that I didn't catch because she's like, I will never be poor again. This is, you know, like, I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps or whatever. And in the process, you know, she gets really rich by marrying a dude who has a very small business that she takes over. But, like, it's like, you know, we could hire people. We don't need to use the prison workers who are clearly starving and being mistreated. And, like, even the warden guy says, well, so long as you just don't ever question my method. She's like, you do your own. You want to get questions from me? Because, again, she didn't care. She was getting the money. She didn't have to worry about being hungry again. And so it's that whole, like, winner-take-all bullshit attitude that... I don't know where I'm going with this, but fucking Gone with the Wind, man.
I think I've never seen Gone with the Wind.
It's pretty good. It always reminded me of Mom, like, with her craziness, with her, like, fascination over her soulmate. I'm saying that in parentheses.
air quotes.
Air quotes, yeah. Because I was always just like, oh, you know, she loved Ashley. One day they'll get together or whatever. And then she realizes her and Ashley will never get together or whatever. And that the man that she loved this whole time, who's been there, nothing but, you know, awesome for her, you know, been there the whole time. Well, he's done with her shit now. So, like, well, because again, she's treated him like garbage. You know, they're married, whatever, their kid dies. Like, she's always been like, she's never been shy about the fact. She's like, no, I love Ashley or whatever. And then she's like, no, I changed my mind. I love you. He's like, nope, too bad. I'm leaving. Fuck you. And that's the whole, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn at the end of it. And I was always so bummed that I was like, how did she, you know, like, she fucked it up. Maybe she'll get him back. I'm like, no, he doesn't have to deserve to be treated this way. Fuck her. Like, now my whole mindset has changed.
Maybe I'll have to watch it.
But yeah, I mean, like, they call their slaves darkies and things like that. So, like, again, sometimes when the left goes too far, like, this is a movie about a time when they use that language. They're not glorifying it. They're just, it's background because that's how they talked to, that's how they treated people. And you can't rewrite history so that it's not there anymore, mm-hmm. right? And so it's that kind of shit where I'm kind of like, yeah, all right, the left does go a little too far. Like, I get it. Don't talk to people like that now. Yeah. And don't make excuses on why that was okay. It wasn't okay, but you can't also misrepresent how it was back then either.
Mm-hmm. Let's, I think this might be a good time to take a word, hear a word from our sponsors. I think we've got a new one
this week.
I think we've got one more, and we'll be right back.
Have your lady parts been smelling kind of like farts? Well, don't you worry, because we're back. Your friends at Temple Twat have been in the lab and have created a special treat for your panty hamster. Introducing Cooter Cleanse. Cooter Cleanse is a pH-balanced genital gel that will leave your penis flytrap cool, refreshed, and ready for the Mr. or Miss to play the hair harmonica. Lather up your fur burger with one of our tantalizing scents. Blueberry Muff, Tropical Tutu, or Floral Front Butt. The next time your partner wants to kiss the Wookiee, boy howdy will they be in for a treat. Cooter Cleanse, because cleaning the fish tank should always smell heavenly.
Family Home Evening with Bad Mormons listeners get 20% off your first purchase of Cooter Cleanse. Just use the promo code WHITENDELIGHTSOME at checkout. That's promo code WHITENDELIGHTSOME for 20% off your first purchase of Cooter Cleanse.
And we're back.
Welcome
back.
Here.
You're queer. Get used to it.
No, I'm kidding. Sorry, I don't know why that just popped in my head.
It's very cheerleader-esque. I love that movie.
We're here. We're drunk. And let's tell a story.
Yeah. So let's go way back in the vault on this one.
Dig deep.
For 2 days ago.
I'm still hungover.
You know, I woke up this morning going, do I still feel like trash? I think I do. So our friend Matt came into town with his lovely bride, Nicole, and man, we had a good time.
Yeah, you've heard us tell stories about Matt. If you know us, you know our friend Matt.
Yeah.
It was just immediately, we went from zero to just having the best time, and we just kept having the best time all through the night. So we had a glass of wine, we're catching up, we got in an Uber.
Yeah, they showed up probably like around 4:30-ish.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, hey, let's go get some happy hours. We drank a bottle of wine here between four people. That's like a glass each.
Yeah. And then we went to, what's the name of that place?
Chart House.
The Chart House.
It's a really like 70s building. It's super cool. It overlooks the harbor, and they've got a killer happy hour.
Yeah, it's on top of this hill. It was actually so fun. It's got this like weird spiral staircase that goes down. The architecture is like, what's the name of that style from the 70s?
I don't know.
It's all like Frank Lloyd Wright kind of a thing.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, super cool.
Like hard edges kind of a thing.
Yeah. And yeah, circles and I don't know.
But geometric.
Yeah, it was really fun. And Charlotte's like, oh, I've been here before. Let me order. I'll have. And she orders like every single thing on the appetizer menu. And we're like, whoa, slow down. And we all order two drinks each.
Well, because the happy hour is going to end soon. So you've got to put it all in.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
So I ordered a martini. I ordered a glass of wine. And then Mandy ordered a martini. I said, you know what? Why don't you put in a martini for me, too? I'll let my glass of wine air out.
And then I was like, well, I want to
breathe.
I want a glass of wine, too. And before you knew it, all of us, they brought out the drinks first, and the entire table was covered in drinks. So we didn't want to miss the happy hour prices. And they're good drinks.
They're good.
It's like a fancy.
It is the best happy hour in all of South OC.
Nicole was saying, she was like, in Washington, you can only order one drink at a time. They would never even bring this many drinks. And we're like, welcome to California. The drinks are free flowing.
But then we were like, I was like, well, we could go home and we could go back to drinking there. Or, you know, I feel like you guys should probably come down to Turks real quick. Like, it's not going to be there very much longer. And it's very cool. Like, it's like Dana Point's version of the Beaver. And for those who live in Washington know what I'm talking about. But Beaver is a super dive bar. And Turks has like a lot of movie prop type poster things. Anyways, it's super great. So I started off with a Bloody Mary. So I'm just mixing booze all around. Mm-hmm. And then I had three martinis.
Mm-hmm. We were all like, we'll have one drink at Turks. So I get a martini, they get their drinks. And, oh, we'll have one more. Getting drunker, getting louder.
Right.
She comes over again and we're like, okay, we'll take our check. And she's like, I'll have one more. And we're like, well, then we'll all have one more. And then we each had four drinks, most of them martinis at Turks.
Right. And we were just catching up on old times and like
telling stories
about the time we got wasted doing something stupid.
We're actually going to try to double team this tonight. We're about to drive down to LA, which is where they're at. We're going to see if we can get them to record a podcast with us.
Yes.
So the following week, you'll get to hear the stories as they're meant to be told.
Yes.
2 weeks. Yes. 2 weeks meant to be told. So we're pretty lit at this point. The sun's down. I don't know what time it is, but Dana Point Harbor does this festival of lights thing where they put all these Christmas lights up, and it's actually really well done, and the boats are lit up, and all the way along the harbor, there's all these Christmas lights. So we decided that was our plan originally, was just to have one martini and then go look at the Christmas lights. So now there's four drunken, loud, screaming, laughing, drunk people taking pictures and posing and photo shooting in front of the lights, and we get about, I want to say, not even a quarter of the way through the lights when Matt's like, we need to take a detour and find another drink. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I know this bar that's right here. So we start walking through the parking lot, and which I'm sure everyone else who was doing the light walk was like, thank God.
Okay.
And then we just start veering off, and there's the bar that was supposed to be there wasn't there, and now we're in the middle of a field. And maybe not a field, but there's no festive anything. It's like a parking lot. And Charlotte's like, oh, I know this place across the street we should go to. So then we make our way there. We get across the street. We walk back into the place. It's not there, but there's a new place.
Yeah, so I knew that they had gone out of business. I was like, there's this place, Mahi, who used to have a really good happy hour. They're gone, but I know there's a new restaurant there, so we should just go check that out.
Which ended up being so fun.
What was it called?
Spoon and Pour or something Pour, P-O-U-R.
Oh, okay. Was it Glass and Pour?
Glass and Pour.
Yeah, Glass and Pour.
Spoon. Heroin and whiskey. Spoon and Needle. That's what it's called.
I have one more glass, and I'm starting to brown out at this point.
Yeah, we had, I don't know what
Mandy got the large, the 12-ounce pour, or 9-ounce pour of wine.
Twice.
So we're sitting there having a good time. We're talking with the bartender, whose name is...
Shannon,
who is just awesome. And we're all laughing, having fun. And I don't know, Matt and Nicole were looking, like, past me. And I guess there was this lady who was just, like...
being a kizant.
Yeah, she was, like, not happy. I don't know if it was, she wasn't happy that we were there and being loud and having a really good time and she just hates her life or what, but, like... Matt told me later that she was, like, complaining about the chowder. Like, you call this, like, chowder. Like, putting, like, with her spoon, pulling up the chowder and just letting it slop down into the bowl. Yeah.
And granted, we were loud and we were having fun. But we weren't, like...
obnoxious.
Too obnoxious. Like, the bartenders were started doing shots with us.
Yeah.
So, it was... we were still fun. We were just loud.
Right. Yeah, we weren't... we hadn't crossed a line yet. Well, so then I turn around to go see what's wrong with this fucking bitch, right? And I see my friend Brian. And I'm like, oh my God, Brian, what's up? And it's her boyfriend.
I don't know if you saw her face because you started talking to him, gave him a hug. The look on her face was like, if she could have melted you with her eyes, she would have. She was like, oh my God.
No, I would give him a hug. I'm a hugger. I like to give people hugs if you're my friend. Like, so yeah, I was just like, what? Like, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. We start talking about, like, because he still gets his hair cut at the very first salon that I ever worked at. So we're talking a little bit of that. And then I could see that she is not happy. Like, I was just like, oh, well, hey, I don't want to interrupt your date night or anything. I'm going to go. But then we started talking about something else. Because, again, I'm drunk. And I'm sorry. I'm so much fun. and so I see her again. I'm like, okay, no. I'm really, really sorry. You guys do your thing. So I go in and sit down. And then we just start having fun again. And I actually kind of just ignored them for the rest of the night because I'm like, yeah, fuck them. I don't care. Yeah. But then I don't remember anything after that.
Let me fill you in. So we start talking about going home and we're like, I'm like, oh, I have this tattoo machine. We should all go home and get tattoos. Like, kind of just joking around. And then Shannon starts showing us videos of his tattoo. He's got this, like, just really intricate dragon that goes all the way from the bottom of his leg up, like, over his butt cheek and up onto his back.
Did I look at that?
Yeah. He showed us all the video. Yeah. It was amazing. And he was talking about how he's like, are you a licensed tattoo artist? And I was like, I'm a tattooer. I am not an artist yet. And it turns out you don't really have to do much to get a license. So even if I was licensed, don't use that as a measure of quality.
Yeah.
I'm just learning. I don't know what I'm doing. But anybody can have a license. You don't need anything but, like, bloodborne pathogen knowledge. Right. That's it. And so he's like, oh, okay. I was like, you know, we're just joking. Like, we're not drunk enough that we're really going to give each other tattoos. And so they have this liquor called Fernet on tap. Fernet is real big in Chicago. There's a little, it's got a little cult following in San Francisco as well. It's like a grosser version of Jägermeister, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I hate it, but they have it on tap there. And so, and Matt and Nicole were just like, yeah, Fernet! And so I did not partake of it because I was enjoying they had Details wine, which is a hard one to find sometimes. So I'm enjoying my second glass of wine. And they're doing shots of Fernet with the bartender. I was like, oh, hell no. And so they're getting ready to close. They're leaving. We gave them a fat tip. We credit card fat tipped them. And we gave them cash. And we're like, thank you guys so much. This was so fun. We go to get in our... You tried to get us the Uber home. And it was not working. Like, you had... It was like a 35-minute wait or something. And so... some people are running off to get pictures of the lights. We're all sitting down. We're like hanging out in this parking lot for too long. Finally, we get a ride home in a Tesla. I don't fully remember what we talked about on the ride home.
Apparently, I passed out.
Yeah, you passed out. One other thing before we get too far. The ride down the hill to Turks from the
chart house.
Chart house. the guy was, you know, just too super cool. We're laughing, telling stories. The something about the joke with martinis are like tits.
Oh, yeah. One's not enough and three's too many.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And then, which bring us to Total Recall. We started laughing about Total Recall. You know, there's the woman with three tits. And he's like, I've got a story for you. And we're like, oh.
Go on.
He speaks. Go on. Tells us about how he worked on that movie. And he, right when the lady brings her three tits out, you'll notice another patron at the bar who is technically the something or other of the film.
Editor
of the film. But they needed people. They didn't have enough people, so they made her be an extra in it. So you'll just see her sitting back there drinking. Anyways, I went on a date with her. And we were like, yeah, Doug, get it. Charlotte's like, that's your girlfriend. She's not my girlfriend. We went on a date. Anyway, so back
right,
to the
that was fun.
So back to the Tesla. We get in this Tesla to come home. We come in and we decide that we're gonna take shots of tequila.
Great, awesome.
Charlotte immediately goes to her bed and passes out. The upper half of her body's on the bed. The lower half of her body's hanging off the bed. Her feet are touching the floor. She stays like that for some time.
I didn't fall out of bed. Like, I wasn't enough on that bed to not slip off the bed. I don't know how that worked. Craig, as awesome as he is, took a picture of it so that I could remember it later.
Maybe that's the picture we should use for this
probably
episode.
I'm guessing.
Anyway,
I still have my fur jacket on.
Yep
But shoes were off.
Yeah, so we take tequila shots, a very special expensive tequila, wasted it. And then I don't know how many bottles of champagne we started drinking. But at this point of the night, it was like 1-ish in the morning. Now, for real, it really is a good time to bring out the tattoo machine.
And clearly.
Give ourselves best friend tattoos. We actually did it. And as wasted as we were, I at least had the presence of mind to be like, okay, I know if you go too deep, it's going to blow out the line. And I know if you go too shallow, it's just going to flake off and it's not going to stick. So you have to get this right spot in the dermis of your skin to make this work right. I was like, I'm really drunk.
But this is the first time you're ever tattooed real flesh,
yeah,
right?
I've never tattooed a human being before. And they're like, perfect, let's do it. So we fucking do it. But we went, I was like, okay, if we do them really small. So we just all did like a really tiny little heart. And I was like, if we do them really small, if I fuck it up and the line blows out, then you can just put a bigger heart over it. And then if it's, you know, too shallow, then, you know, just redo it at another time or whatever. And they actually turned out not bad. Like, you know, considering...
They're better than stick and pokes.
Considering how many drinks we had, you know, there's like a little spot that's a little messed up here and there, but it's like, you know, it gives it character. And, right. You know, I tattooed Matt. I tattooed Nicole. Matt tattooed me. And then the next morning, Charlotte wakes up, she's like, where's mine? So she got, like, just a hungover, you know.
I got it. But I was like, residual. Oh, hell no. I want a friendship tattoo. This is bullshit.
But we did it all right. You know, of course, everyone gets their own fresh setup. Everyone, you know, it's nobody's sharing anything.
Yeah.
No sharing ink. Like, did, you know, mat aside, wiped everything down. Like, we did it right. It was just the funnest drunken shit show of a good time I've had in a long time.
Yeah, I woke up at 6 in the morning, because I think we got home probably around 10-ish, I'm going to guess.
I think it was later than that.
Was it? Yeah, I guess it was a Friday night, maybe 11. Restaurants don't stay open very late, so. Anyways, I immediately pass out. So I wake up, and I'm not in the covers, but I'm like, I still have a bra on, and that's the telltale, like, oh, fuck, I passed out. Because, again, don't remember coming home. So I'm like, I take my bra off, and I'm just still in my clothes. I'm like, fuck it, I'm just going to keep sleeping in my clothes. And then I couldn't go back to sleep right away because I was like, I didn't set up the arrow bed. Like, I like to pride myself on being a pretty good host and, like, be like, oh, they're just sleeping on the couch. I feel like a bastard. But I didn't want to wake up to go check either. And so I finally fall back asleep. Anyways, turns out Craig and Mandy did everything and made it very special for them to sleep on. But, yeah, then we were talking about it, and then I had to get caught up. I'm like, okay, so wait, what did I do? Did I take a shot of Fernet? Like, no. I'm like, oh, thank God. They're talking about tequila shots. I'm like, did I take a shot of tequila? Like, no. I'm like, yeah, because I don't remember a lot. And they're like, yeah, but we did get tattoos. I'm like, the fuck? I want a fucking tattoo. And then we ended up doing that, then going and getting lunch where I had another martini. And I felt great. My 11 p.m. or a.m. martini.
Yeah. I had a Bloody Mary.
Yeah.
Trackside Bloody Mary. Which is a story for another day.
Yeah. Totes. So yeah, that was our really good, fun...
adult bet good decision. I'm almost 50.
I like my heart tattoo on my almost 40-year-old elbow.
So if you'd like to get drunk with adults and get homemade tattoos for the first time you've ever tattooed a person 15 martinis in. No, that's a bad segue. I was going to be like, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
So,
if you'd like to keep hearing more stories about a full-ass grown adult people taking way too many shots and tattooing each other,
leave a review on Apple Podcast. You can also send us any stories about the time you got tattoos, stick and poke, or professional while you were shithoused at fhebadmormons@gmail.com.
We're on all the social medias. LinkedIn, Twitter. I'm like, these don't exist. That doesn't exist.
Facebook.
We're going to figure out TikTok.
Yeah, TikTok.
I've got the only frontier that's left.
I'm stuck in TikTok land. I love it there. Go to YouTube. Like and subscribe. Share with your friends.
And thanks so much to our patrons once again. We really appreciate all your support. And we love you.
And you'll hear from us in a minute.
Yeah. And we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Okay, bye.